Our first scripture reading is Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that of an angel of God, most awe-inspiring. I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name, but he said to me, 'You shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.'" This is the word of the Lord.
So that was the beginning of Samson's story, and I'm going to read the end of it. Hear now the word of the Lord from Judges 16, 23 to 31. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand.'" This is not good, right? "When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us.'" That's Samson. "And when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call Samson and let him entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. They made him stand between pillars, and Samson said to the attendant who held him by the hand, 'Let me feel the pillars on which this house rests, so that I may lean against them.' Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, 'Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, so that with this one act of revenge I may pay back the Philistines for my two eyes.'" Because they took out his eyes, basically. "And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he strained with all his might, and the house fell on the lords and all of the people who were in it. So those he killed at his death were more than those he killed during his life. Then his brothers and all of his family came down and took him and brought him and buried him between Zorah and Eshethol in a tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel for 20 years." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So the gender reveal party for Manoah and his wife's baby was a little unconventional. There was no cake cut to reveal baby boy Blue inside. No boxes were opened showing blue balloons while family and friends cheered. Instead, they did it the old-fashioned way. After years of wanting a baby, an angel of the Lord appeared and said, "It's a boy, and he is going to be a Nazarite, and he will save his people from their enemy." And so 9 months later, baby boy Samson was born. And they named him Samson because it means set apart. They named their kid set apart because he was to be a Nazirite. You know how new parents always complain that babies aren't born with an instruction manual? This one was. So the angel was really clear that Nazirites are people set apart for a holy purpose. And they're like monks or nuns in our day. And because they have this holy purpose and this high calling, they have a rule of life, and it tells them what they should and shouldn't do to keep them holy and to keep them focused on their mission and their calling. And that's what the angel talks to the parents about. And the angel says, this baby is never to touch anything dead, because he'll become contaminated. This kid is never to have any wine or alcoholic drink, including when he's in his mama's tummy. And don't cut his hair, right? That's really important. Nazirites never cut their hair. And so there are some important things that the writer of this story wants us to pick up on. Things that tell us that this kid is going to be the one, the special one, the one who will deliver the people. Okay, number one, he had an angelic birth announcement. See also Isaac, John the Baptist, and oh yeah, Jesus the Messiah, right? So that's a key one. Okay, the other one is that he was going to be a Nazirite from birth. Again, just like when you're a monk or a nun, kids weren't Nazirites from birth. You waited till someone was old enough to take the vows of the holy order, to make the decision for themselves before they became a Nazirite. So it's really rare for a child to be a Nazirite from birth. Another sign that this kid was going to be special. And so think of Samson in his early days like the new quarterback of your favorite college football team. Okay, because they were convinced that this kid is special, that this kid wasn't like the others, that this kid is going to bring home the trophy and deliver the trophy to the people this year. Okay, that's how much pressure was riding on Samson. When he came out of the tunnel, quite literally at his birth, he was ready to be the savior of the people. He was going to be the deliverer. This is the year we've been waiting for, they all said. Except that it wasn't. He was terrible. This guy was the worst judge ever. In fact, it all ends with him. So Samson was a disaster for one really big reason. The reason was that Samson had a superpower. He had superhuman strength. And Samson ended up relying on his superhuman strength, his own superpower, rather than finding strength in God throughout his life. And that's where he's going to go wrong. Samson really liked his strength. He liked to show off. He would go to the gym all the time just because he could lift more weight than everybody else. And he wore those clever gym tank tops. He had like a whole closet full of them, right? And you may have seen them, right? They have sayings like gym and tonic. Or meet me at the bar, which is like the weightlifting bar. Nobody ever drowned in sweat. That's another one. Or my favorite, squats, not shots. Okay, so Samson was all into his strength. He liked to show off, but he relied on it way too much. And we get that, right? Because we are special people too, like Samson. We are smart. We are gifted. We have talents and abilities. And we tend to rely on our gifts and our talents and our abilities rather than on God's strength to help us accomplish our missions in this world. And it's only later in life, like Samson, that we discover that it's only when we find our strength in God and when we live in Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ work through us that anything of resurrection or promise or blessing will come through us to the world. Think about that. It's only when we live in Christ and we let Christ work through us that anything of resurrection or promise or blessing will come through us to the world. That is just the truth. You and I are called, just like Samson. We have a calling and a holy purpose in this world. You and I, in our baptisms, are beloved by God, just like Samson, and we were reminded of that in our baptisms. You and I have a rule of life, just like Samson. We're called to be people of worship and prayer and evangelism and gathering in community like we are this morning to take care of one another. We have a rule of life like Samson. We have a calling. We have a purpose. And the thing is, I don't think Samson ever forgot about his calling and his purpose. I don't think that was his problem. He was pretty clear in his story that his job was to kill God's enemy, no matter how we feel about that. That's the truth. He was clear on his calling. Where he went wrong is that he always relied on himself and his own strength to complete his mission. So the good news for all of you this morning is that we do not have time to go into the gory details of Samson's story and his mission and his exploits, but they are gory indeed. And Samson's story and his mission and his exploits can best be summed up in a phone call I received on Monday morning. So the phone rings on Monday morning, and I'm like, oh, it's our amazing children's director, Kim Oakley. I'm like, hey, Kim, happy Monday. She says, have you read the story of Samson lately? Why did we choose this guy as a superhero? This thing reads like an R-rated movie. I said, I know. I just read this story this morning. I was thinking the same thing. Kim's like, this is full of innuendo. He has multiple girlfriends. There's a kegger. He kills thousands of people more than once. What are we going to do? I said, I know. It's like an episode of Game of Thrones, isn't it? And I said, you know, Kim, we learned this story in Sunday school. Our kids need to know this story. But I think when they taught it to us, they left out like 90% of the details. Or like 98, she said. I said, okay, well, good luck to you. She said, okay, right back at you. I'm going to give them the G-rated version. Okay, so that's Samson's story in like a nutshell or a phone call. Okay, it's brutal. Put that aside for a second and focus on his mission. This guy had a mission, a calling from God. You all have a mission, a holy purpose, something you're working on right now. It's a goal you're trying to achieve. It's, you know, it's something you're doing in your life that you're working on, that you're staying focused, something that you want to accomplish, that you feel is part of your calling, your holy mission from God. And my question is, how's it going this morning? Are you tired? Are you burning out? Are you frustrated? Are you exhausted before you've even barely begun? How's it going? Because I know you guys, and I know that you're talented, you're smart, you're fantastic leaders. You are doing amazing stuff for the kingdom of God. I know this about you. We're a small church. It's great. I also know that we all, your pastor included, can fall into the trap of relying on your dog and pony show, your gifts, your talents, your intelligence, your ability to get your missions done. It's just the truth. And when we fall into that trap, we burn out. We get exhausted. We get angry. We're not successful. We make bad decisions like Samson did. In the middle or three-fourths into Samson's story, he's going to burn out. He's going to get tired, ornery, angry, exhausted. He's going to collapse on the floor, and he's going to tell God, I'm going to die if you don't give me something to drink. Now, whether Samson was spiritually thirsty or like physically thirsty, we don't know. But basically, God has to get him water out of a rock to keep him going, right? God does that in the Bible, gets water out of a rock. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe you need God to get some water out of a rock for you and put you back together like God did for Samson and get you back into your ministry and into your mission. But what we learn in that moment in Samson's story is that we have two choices. We can do it ourselves, or we can let Jesus Christ do it through us. And there's definitely a blessed answer to that question. So, Samson's story, it ends kind of like a Greek or Roman myth that you learned about in college or high school. Samson has a girlfriend. It's always the woman, right, who brings you down. Samson has a girlfriend. She tricks him. She cuts his hair. He loses all of his strength. That's why I know that there's no way that Samson ever forgot about his mission. He wasn't allowed to cut his hair. Every time he looked in the mirror, he was quite clear of what he was to be about in the world. But Delilah cuts his hair. And then the Philistines come in. They take him prisoner because he's lost his strength because it was attached to his hair. They tie him to the temple. They gouge out his eyes. And there he is. And it's only at the end of his story does he realize he needs God to get the job done. And that's when he prays to God. And he gives this heartfelt prayer, Lord, give me strength one more time so that I might complete my mission and defeat your enemy. And he brings down the whole temple and crushes all of the people. And it's mission accomplished for Samson. But he dies in like a tragic Greek hero type of way. Samson had superpowers. That's why he got chosen for this sermon series. But Kim and I realized he never was a superhero until the very end of the story. He's not a superhero of the faith until he realizes it's only in God's strength that he can accomplish his mission. You all are smart, intelligent people. Don't forget that it's only in God's strength and not relying on your own, that you can truly accomplish your missions and your callings in this world. What is so beautiful in this story is God and God's presence and love for Samson, this beloved child of God who continually makes bad decisions. He denies his calling. He does things he shouldn't do. He doesn't live out his mission properly. He makes mistakes. He makes bad choices over and over again. And yet Samson receives grace upon grace, chance upon chance. It's the beauty of our redeeming and loving God on every page and every sentence of his story. And that's good news for us. Because that means God gives us grace upon grace, chance upon chance, in every moment of our story and our mission for God too. Don't forget, you can try to do it yourself, but it's only when we let Jesus Christ work through us that anything of blessing or promise or redemption will come to the world through us. So enjoy your mission with God, but always do it hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we're going to brag and say we are a pretty awesome church full of pretty awesome people, and we know that we have a calling. We are clear on that. We know that we are here to bless people in your name. And we are thankful for the gifts and talents you have given us and for our intelligence and our leadership skills, but help us not rely on them, lest we burn out. Help us always to seek you in prayer and Bible study and in our rule of life so that we might be strengthened for that awesome mission and calling you have given us in this season of our life. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen.